Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for today's message is our reading from Acts chapter 2, and we're focusing on all of the text. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Yes, we are still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even weeks later after celebrating Easter. And we've been celebrating not only his resurrection, but the truth that his resurrection reveals in our lives. And the very first one, we discovered the resurrection truth that God's resurrection is for everyone. And then the week after that, we found out that God's mission won't be stopped. And then last week, we heard the account of Peter's powerful sermon on Pentecost, and the people were cut to the heart. What are we going to do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every single one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And people who accepted his word, they were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added to that day. Oh, yes, we found out the truth that God's word is powerful. And today, what we're going to focus on is the resurrection truth that God's people do life differently. Well, speaking of different, I want to show you this painting here. Now, when you first look at this painting, it kind of looks like something a preschooler would have painted. But actually, this is one of the most famous pieces of American art, because this painting is titled Convergence, and it is painted by the late American painter Jackson Pollock back in 1952. And when you look at it, it is a different painting. It's not like what you saw in my children's message to the kids, in which I had a painting, had clear figures, clear lines. No, this just seems kind of messy. But that's the beauty of it. That's exactly what Jackson Pollock was aiming for, to break out of those lines, to break out of those molds. He was the leading artist in the movement called Abstract Expressionism. And his paintings are beautiful just simply because they are so different. Well, when you look at our text this morning from Acts 2, you see something else that's different. The lives of God's people in the early church. And how were they different? Well, you can see it throughout the text. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now notice what it is. The apostles' teaching about Jesus. They were devoting themselves to that teaching. They no longer were listening to the legalistic, stringent, restrictive teaching of the religious elite. No, they were devoted to the grace-filled freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ that the apostles were teaching. And they were breaking bread. Now, this means they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. They no longer celebrated the Passover feast. No, they celebrated the Lord's Supper because they believe that the Passover was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, that he was the sacrificial lamb, that his blood conquered death. And they devoted themselves to the prayers, except these prayers were to God as the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, their brother. And Luke says that they had all things in common. Their care and concern for one another was so great that they were selling their possessions, they were selling houses, they were selling land, and they weren't keeping the proceeds for themselves. No, they were taking it and laying it right at the apostles' feet and saying, here you go. Whoever has any need, use however you need it. Wow. They loved that stuff. And they were sharing their food. They were sharing meals together on a daily basis. These relative strangers were now having family meals together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And they had in common their faith. They were boldly clinging to their faith in Jesus Christ. They were boldly sharing it with others. And the Lord was boldly adding to the number of those who were being saved. Oh, when you look at this text, what a beautiful, beautiful portrait of the lives of the early church and just how different they were. And that's the thing. It's such a beautiful portrait of the church that it can have issues. You see, we know that this text here, it's meant to be a description of what the early church looked like. But instead, we often look at it as a prescription. We look at it as an ideal that every church needs to emulate. And that's the issue. How different our lives as God's people look from this ideal that Luke is painting here in our text from Acts. I mean, we should be looking at the church today and seeing just this beautiful portrait, but instead, we see a mess. Case in point, I've seen many churches and church leaders and laity and just God's people, they're responding to this COVID-19 pandemic. And they are trying to figure things out. How are we going to do worship if we can't meet in our buildings? How are we going to do the Lord's Supper? What's our ministry going to look like? Online teaching, online Bible studies. How can we care for people when we can't actually physically be present with them? And I've noticed something. This should be a time when the church unites. But instead, I've seen division. I've seen people taking sides. And it's gotten very, very messy indeed. And that's not the only thing that's messy. Do we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, or do we only hear what our itching ears want to hear? Do we partake of the Lord's Supper? And do we share our food with glad and generous hearts? Or do we eat the bread while we're holding on to a grudge against someone? Do we drink the wine and we're full of bitterness? Do we pray together as God's people in the name of Jesus, and yet our prayers are full of envy and anger and indifference? Do we really have all things in common, or are we divided among factions, among gossip? Do we have the resources and the ability to share with one another, to help those in need, or do we selfishly withhold from others? Do we share our faith as we have opportunity? Or do we give in to fear or apathy? Well, let someone else do it. I know. The lives of God's people, it should be different. They should be different, and yet they can be just as messy as the sinful, fallen world that we were called out of. That's why I want you to look at this painting one more time. And yes, this is a painting that is much different than what we would expect, right? But it's not just because this painting is different from, say, other paintings. But actually, it's different because of the way Jackson Pollock painted. You see, other paintings, the canvas was put on an easel, and someone had a board of paints, you know, their oils, their pastels, and they would take a brush, dip it, and paint it that way. But not Jackson Pollock. He would actually take huge pieces of canvas, and he would lay them on the floor. And then he would take a cup of paint and his brush, and he'd dip it in there, and then he would drip the paint wherever it went. He would splash it. He would pour it out. However he was inspired, whatever was moving him, he would make those strokes, and that's what made it beautiful. You see, it's the technique of Jackson Pollock that turns this painting into a thing of beauty. He and his technique, he was the one that was making this beautiful. When you look at our text, you may not see him outright, but know this, it's the Lord, it's Jesus, it's our good shepherd that is leading and guiding and caring for his sheep throughout this text. The apostles' teaching, that's his teaching. It's what he taught the apostles, the good news that he gave them, the good news that he was to them, and then they taught it to others. The Lord's Supper, that's his supper that he instituted, that he gave as a gift, that he was present in, giving his body and his blood for them. And the prayers that they were praying, he was giving them the words to pray in the Holy Spirit. And they were only selling all of their possessions, selling houses and property, because they truly believed that they did not lack anything in Jesus, that he had given them everything. They were sharing their faith with other people because they were overwhelmed by what Jesus had done and was doing for and through them. Their lives were different because they repented and were baptized, and they received the forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit, all through Jesus Christ. And so what that means is that your lives are different too by what Jesus does for you. You see, you have received the apostles' teaching, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for you, that he laid down his life for you, for your sin, and he took it up again to give you eternal life. And you have repented, you have been baptized, and you receive the forgiveness of every single sin. And you have the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. And you also have another gift given to you by Jesus. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who were in the same sinful condition that you were, but you, they received baptism. They repented. They were baptized. They received the forgiveness of sins. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit just as you did. And good God, the Good Shepherd, has brought you all together to do life differently, because Jesus makes you different. And that's just it. When Jesus makes you different, you live your lives differently. You are now devoted to Jesus. You are devoted to his teaching, devoted to the good news that he gave you, devoted to learning it and trusting in it and living by it. You are devoted to worshiping him, receiving his gifts, his word, his body, his blood, and then responding in prayer, responding in praise, and responding with your very lives, offering them as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. You are devoted to His ways and His will for your life. You're going to live for Him. But you are also devoted to His people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are devoted to loving them, to caring for them, to sharing with them whatever God has given to you as they need. But more so than that, you are also devoted to His mission. Yes, you're going to share your faith. You get to share your faith. As the Holy Spirit prompts you, whenever you have opportunity, you get to witness to everything that God has done in your life. And you get to share it boldly and at the same time with humility. Yes, you get to live these different lives. You get to do life differently. And through these different lives, the Lord is adding to the number those who are being saved, those who are repenting, those who are being baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those who are receiving forgiveness of sin, those who are receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, those who are saved. So that's why when you look at this painting, Convergence, you have to know something. It started out as Pollock just taking black and white paint and dripping it over the canvas. But he wasn't quite satisfied with the results, so he started adding colors. He started adding layers to it. More and more and more, adding and adding until it was finished. In the same way, the Lord continues to paint a beautiful portrait of His church, shepherding His flock. Yes, doing amazing things through the different lives that you are living and making a difference in the lives of those who need salvation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the resurrection truth that God's people do life differently. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.